this is an agreed fact, a known matter, a known fact, that in deen, in our complete way of life, after coming into deen or bringing about deen, all the levels and the ranks and the status related to this world, the dunya, and the akhirah, the hereafter, all of the scenarios of darajat, of reward, status, all of this is connected and linked to solely, directly to the ittiba, the following and the obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any level, any status, rank, piety, condition, without ittiba, without following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody can achieve anything. There's no achievement in deen, in this world or thereafter, without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's following and obedience. If you see something in this world or the hereafter, people, yourself will realize that without the ittiba, without the following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you see someone's happy or progressing or is pious, so-called outwardly pious, or you think you can see that that person is pious or good, then this is istidraj, deception. Just like in the field where there is a flower which has no fragrance, and very quickly that person is revealed, very quickly such a maqam, such a position comes, or a scene arises where a person, the real person, is unraveled. Whatever there is, my friends, in this world and the hereafter, every single point of achievement is connected to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's the success of this world or the hereafter. If we want to attain success in this world or the hereafter, if we want to present our deeds in the court of Allah and thereafter, and for us to succeed, then definitely 100% remember that all success is connected to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience and following him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character, his blessed habits, all of these things have been preserved in the Quran. Rather, the Quran, the whole Quran, is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. As Aisha radiallahu anha said this herself, that his life was the walking, talking Quran, and that hadith give each and every blessed habit and sunnah's commentary and detail, description, every single action, mannerism, saying, talking, walking, action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is great, esteemed, fantastic and brilliant. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq, ability to do all actions in accordance to the sunnah. Otherwise life's a deception, it's a fraud, and it's a joke. If a person doesn't do amal on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he leaves the sunnah and he thinks inside, I'm crying, I'm feeling emotional, I'm seeing good dreams, I've seen many people, I did ziyarah, I did kashf, I saw this sheikh and he said this to me and I'm good and I'm very pious and lofty. I've seen many people like this, many in my life. And I used to laugh in my heart that how long will this person's kashf and miracles last? Alhamdulillah, after some days that person's exposed, that he's nothing, he's empty. To an extent, a person drags shaitan, uses shaitan to assist him, but this is not dalil. No kashf magic, no vision, no heart warmth and emotions. If a person is doing amal on the sunnah, then nur ala nur in that person's life. Remember this. Salah is salah accordance to the Prophet. Hajj is that, ibadah is that, Quran, hifth, ilm, knowledge, memorization, is everything connected? If everything is connected to the Prophet, I'm fine. If the sunnah is cut off, then it's like you have a mirror, or for example a bottle, inside you say there's itar, fragrance, and when you take the cap off, there's no fragrance, just water. In the hereafter, the deeds will be like that, the same. The pious predecessors have told us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice characteristic is lofty, great, brilliant, and Allah Ta'ala has put special qualities and effects into his practice and his habits. And Allah said in the Quran that pay attention to the sunnah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is adheem. It's the greatest way of life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah is so brilliant, and his habits were so brilliant that Islam spread due to his sunnah and due to one special sunnah. Due to one blessed habit, that Islam spread due to this blessed habit, this special habit and sift and quality, and the Quran has praised it in the same way. that I have given you mercy, O mankind, that I gave the Prophet ﷺ this sifat, this quality. If the Prophet ﷺ didn't have this characteristic, then you would not benefit, O mankind, O people of the world. Allahu Akbar. So the whole Prophet ﷺ, he spread Islam with his sunnah. And if we leave his sunnah, then what will be our hal? Then we need to instill into our habits the sunnah, the adeem practice. And what is that sunnah? That spread Islam across the world. In the hadith, the words that are mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned this blessed sunnah, that Nabi ﷺ was very gentle and tender and soft in his speech and his mannerism. This is what Allah Ta'ala said, that this is my rahmah, that I made the Holy Prophet ﷺ very gentle, caring, soft and tender. That's why you approach him, that's why you embrace him, that's why you want to hug him, that's why you want to be with him all the time. So this is a great quality that the Holy Prophet ﷺ, this sift, this quality was from the beginning to the end and always with him. And even in that hal, when the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and his companions gave persecution to the Muslimin, difficulties, there was extreme zulm and oppression against the Muslims. And due to the extreme oppression, the Prophet ﷺ had to leave Makkah. And the Prophet ﷺ looked back in Makkah and said, Makkah, I love you so much, I would never leave you if my people had not expelled me and forced me to leave. And the Prophet ﷺ was born in Makkah. This was his hometown. And tell me, how much difficulty must have the opposition have given at that time? Oppression, persecution, torture, and mental, physical oppression. But look, the Holy Prophet says, even at that time, his quality of softness, tenderness, gentle caring was overwhelming. Abu Sufyan, he came once, he wasn't a Muslim at that time. How much he would pester and trouble the Holy Prophet ﷺ. So much trouble he gave. Once Nabi ﷺ was sitting in front of the Kaaba, and so much difficulty was at that time that there was a drought, a severe drought, that even the animals were affected severely. And this is how much dryness and drought and poverty came to Makkah. And Abu Sufyan came to the Prophet ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ was present, and Nabi ﷺ received him. And he was such a big zalim, he wasn't a Muslim at that time, was he? And he came and he said that you say that you are the Nabi of Allah, the Prophet of Allah, and look at the condition of your people, that you're not getting anything to eat, they're struggling, hungry, and you're watching. Why don't you ask your God to send the rain? Why don't you do this? And there was so much that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said. As soon as Rasulullah heard him, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his blessed hands. And when he raised his blessed hands, then the whole of Makkah, mashallah, was immersed in the rain, and the drought finished, the dryness finished. So this was the hal, the condition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even the enemies would pester him, trouble him, persecute him. Even then, he was gentle towards them and caring towards them. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went on the journey of Hijrat, which is very famous, that in Islam we see that this was the essence of Islam, the gentle, caring, mild manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the stones at that time, the people of rock, hearts of rock and stone, they would calm down. And I'll tell you one event of the Hijrat, the journey of migration. This is in the Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the kitabs, in the books. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave with his friend, the companion of the cave, Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he wasn't just the companion of the cave. This was the beginning of the journey. And the conclusion of the journey is where? Is that he's also the companion of the grave. Not just the cave, but the grave. Subhanallah. The friendship was forever. He became the companion from the beginning. He was the companion from the beginning in the first part of the journey, the cave. And forever he remained a friend, and he was the friend in the grave as well, the companion of the grave. What a great friend. Money, family, efforts, time, everything he gave. I won't go into depth about the hijrah, the migration. A very beautiful and emotional account, a journey full of emotion and good experiences. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left and departed for Madinatul Munawwara, there was a servant, and there was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and there was the Prophet ﷺ and the camel, and they started the journey. And the party of Abu Jahl, they were enraged, angry, that we're defeated, we can't bring them back, they've left, they've scarpered. And Rasulullah ﷺ left with extreme gentleness, caring, and he threw the dust back. the soil, but he threw it in such a way that he didn't want to give any trouble to any of the opposition. No difficulty. Maybe they were shocked, dumbfounded, but Rasulullah, if he wanted, it was his own hand, and he could have given them such a bad experience. But Rasulullah didn't want that. He didn't intend that. So they ran after Rasulullah. Where have they gone? Where have they gone? Catch them, find them. And they shouted out. So they did something that this is the weak point of all of men, which is wealth and money. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. 100 camels reward, bounty reward for whoever finds the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like we say today, 100 aeroplanes, Boeing 747s, and even today, the price tags are put on people. There are in this day and age in this world, because iman sells due to money, due to wealth. Do things. But these people at that time, they didn't believe in the Prophet, doesn't believe in Allah. And today the Muslim who has iman, he sells himself based on money. Day and night, are we not being sold? We sell our deen, our lives. Look around us. We see this. Yes, that easily we put a price tag on our iman, pounds and dollars. When a person's immodest or committing a sin, then what's he selling at that time? His iman, his belief. Direct. The sin is linked with what? With iman, with belief. As soon as a person implements a sin, he's disobeying Allah. Why is a person committing a sin? Why is a person disobeying Allah? Because in opposition to that sin, in comparison to that sin, in exchange to that sin, we're receiving something in it, profit or some gain. Either we're experiencing the enjoyment of the nafs, of the desires, or some material thing. That's why we commit sins and do immodesty or do lurid actions. Either we're enjoying it, either we're feeling enjoyment with that sin. Shaitan puts some more enjoyment due to that sin inside. We feel satisfaction and we sell our iman. We buy sins in exchange with our iman. So remember, always when a person commits a sin, he's selling his iman for something. Directly when a person commits a sin, look how big an action is a sin. Severe. That's why it's very essential for us that never consider a sin as a minor, as a small thing. Never consider a sin as a small thing. Yes, to do haram, to lie, to deceive, to commit fraud. In other words, no way at all. When a person is committing a sin in any way or form, when your nafs is getting excitement or satisfaction or reward in terms of material reward, so-called, or benefit of the world, then we're giving that in exchange to that sin, we are giving the wealth of the hereafter, which is iman. And this is a very wrong transaction that's taking place when a person commits a sin. He's exchanging iman and the hereafter for the world and sin. That's why when a person will go to the hereafter, his iman will be finished. No nur, no light. He will have sold his iman totally in the world. And I sold my iman for this much, for this much. Allah will say that you did this sin, you did X, Y, Z. You sold your iman on that day for this much of a sin. So Allah will say that your iman has disappeared and you have got these sins to your name, directly go to Jahannam, to Hellfire, because you are free from iman. Today we don't consider iman as anything. We don't consider sin as a sin. We say, oh no, this is not necessary. This is not unlawful. It's okay. We've got to live in the world. We weren't included in that sin. I didn't do it purposely. I just, by accident. No, we've sold our iman at that time. We've sold our iman. When a person does zina, adultery, in the hadith it states, isn't it, something, the meaning of the hadith is something like this, that person's iman is not present at that time when he's committing zina, when he's a zani. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. So this is, we need to strengthen our iman properly, that it's not just from dhikr, ithkar, from the results we have to see, the physical result. Don't commit sins. This is the peak of iman. So when the people of Makkah said, oh, 100 camels to those who bring back Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the party, they came out of Makkah, and I'm telling you this story now, event. There was a person, one failed and came back. He couldn't find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the second person left, thinking about the bounty, 100 camels. And Bureida, I think was the name, something like that. And he, not... for example, he said he took 70 more men. How many? Yes, there's two people to find. How many people are going to find them? 70. And they got prepared and ready, all their articles that they wanted to take with them. and their resources and their finding Rasul. When they saw, there's some dust here, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasulullah and the servant, they look back and they saw that people are coming after them. They thought, they've come. They're amongst us now. They're really close to us. They kept on coming, close. And they were happy. But the Prophet ﷺ was calm and gave encouragement to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then they came close to the Prophet ﷺ, the people who came to meet and find and capture Rasulullah ﷺ. The dialogue started, the discussion. And on one side is the greatest human being of the universe, subhanAllah. And on opposite to them is the kafir, coming to find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taking back. Nauzubillah. Allah's help, Allah Ta'ala would give a hint. Allah Ta'ala knew what was happening, and what's happening, that his horse was getting buried slowly into the sand, into the earth. But this situation started when? Because all of the success and all of the achievements positive were due to the gentle, caring and comfortable attitude of the Prophet ﷺ. And even though it was so threatening, the scenario, there was hazard, they had already found the Prophet ﷺ, so many men, but Rasulullah ﷺ was calm. So the discussion started. Rasulullah ﷺ said, with ease and gentle, nicely, who are you? Who are you? And the answer came back, that I am Buraydah Salmi. And then he said, this is my name. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, fine, Buraydah Salmi. You, then he looked at Abu Bakr, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr Siddiq and said, this is Buraydah Salmi. And then the situation is even easy now, because Buraydah is cool. So who is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this to? To Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he commented on his name that your name is good. You've got a nice name. Peace and coolness. So now the situation is calming down and becoming more soft. And Rasulullah is telling Abu Bakr Siddiq that Rasulullah said that, what is your tribe, your background? He said, Aslam. And the Nabi smiled. And then Rasulullah turned to Abu Bakr Siddiq that he's from the Aslam tribe. Then we are at peace. We are protected because he's from the Aslam tribe. So the Salmi will overwhelm us. So we don't need to worry. He cannot give us any danger. 70 of them. And that all of the men were listening. That what's going on? They're not afraid. They're not trembling. They're not picking up their sword. Nor they're telling us to go back. They're talking to us, giving us answers. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him that, what is the subdivision of your tribe? He said, Bani Sam. And Nabi said, that mashallah, you have got the share, you have got the good share from Islam. Mashallah. And Rasulullah is addressing Abu Bakr Siddiq again, that he's got the good effect of Islam. Then he said that everybody knew that where is he coming from, and he's come from Makkah, and now he's lost in a trance. And he said, let me ask something as well. You see how Rasulullah was soft and gentle and calm and cool. And he said, who are you? Subhanallah, what a beautiful answer. Subhanallah, by listening to the answer, so much enjoyment. And the Prophet of Allah SWT is answering. And who's asking? He said, who are you? And what was the answer that Rasulullah SWT gave? Allahu Akbar. Anna Muhammad bin Abdullah Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah. Wah, subhanallah. What a great scene when Rasulullah SWT must have given the answer. Me? You asking who I am? I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. Subhanallah, what a great answer with great weight. What a beautiful answer. And he was struck with awe, overcome with awe. And then he must have swayed and lost it for a few seconds. Then he said straight away, what did he say? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah said, Ana Muhammad bin Abdullah Rasulullah. Then he said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu Rasulullah. And he threw his sword down. His sword hadn't even dropped, and the 70 behind him all shouted, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu Rasulullah. Subhanallah, 70 swords fell down on the ground. They bowed their heads down. Those same men who came to take the life or capture the Prophet with their camels and their resources, now what did they become? The lovers, ashiks. their bodies, their maal, their wealth, their wife, their children, everything they gave of one, just one word came from their mouths. May our mothers and father, may our parents be assigned to you, O Prophet of Allah. Within a second, their life turned upside down. Did they say anything else? Did Rasulullah say anything else? All he asked was his name. And the answer came with such love and gentleness. And he was gentle in character and gentle in his speech. Say subhanAllah. This is our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his shan. This is his glorious. People said that Islam spread with the sword and enmity and fighting and battles. My brothers, Islam didn't spread like this. And here we're talking about the system was being established. The state wasn't even formed. And Rasulullah demonstrated. And those people, they were immersed and drowned in the ishq of the Prophet. Let me tell you an ishq masala point here that is important amongst the Sufis, the students of the tasawwuf and the saliks. I'm explaining to you this point. That our pious predecessors, what do the Sufi people say here? They said, this is the essence of the matter that we need to understand. That so calm and reassuring and gentle and soft was the Rasulullah. The soon as he mentioned his name, then the first thing that came into them was the jazbah, the passion of ishq and love. They drowned in the love of the Prophet. The highest peak and level of ishq came into their hearts. Ishq of who? The Prophet of Allah. So when a murid sits and goes to the shaykh to get bayah and his niyah is correct, soon as the shaykh takes the hand of the student, then the murid at that time immediately drowns in the love of the shaykh. And this is the sign of the kamil murid who has approached the shaykh sincerely that he wants to reform himself, improve himself. The hand of the shaykh hasn't even touched the student, the murid, and the jazbah of love and ishq comes into the heart of the student. Then no other man has status in the heart of the student higher than the teacher. He says, they are all good. They are all nice and brilliant. But no one more beautiful and better and good is in my heart than my teacher, my shaykh. That the sohbat, the enjoyment of having the sohbat of my teacher, my shaykh, I don't get in anybody else's company. I'm desperate to see my shaykh. I'm not desperate to see anybody else. Subhanallah. His emotions change. His character changes. His feelings change. There are murids like this, subhanallah. Everything they will give for the shaykh within that second. That's when a person gets to that maqam. Ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul. That person obeys Allah and Rasulullah. Because when a word emanates from the tongue of the shaykh, he says, I'll do it. Leave this in. I'll leave it, my shaykh, my teacher. I've heard and I will obey. This is solely. Remember this, that the wahid, the best tariqah method of leaving the sin is ishq and muhabbat and love of the teacher. And where does it come from? Where does it come from? It comes from Allah via the company of the shaykh to the sadiq, sincere student who wants to improve himself. Even now until qiyamah, this system will continue. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are hundreds of thousands of men and women who are murids and khankas run and continue. No, but from thousands there's one who comes to be reformed correctly, I tell you. And the one who wants to be reformed correctly, sincerely, doesn't matter how before he was dirty. I remember a statement from my shaykh, as I said, that when a murid goes to his shaykh, to his teacher, he wants to be improved and reformed, then his situation is like a dirty person standing on the banks of the sea and the ocean is saying, come, jump into me. Dive into me, doesn't matter how impure you are, dirty you are, I am the ocean, I will purify you. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So in the same way, when the murid, sadiq, sincere, truthful, goes and stands at the company of the shaykh, then the shaykh's ruh, soul, spirit says, don't worry, doesn't matter how many sins you possess, you have committed, you are drowned in sins, come, I am the ocean, take my hand and drown into my ishq, into my love, so you will be improved. Do you understand the words that I'm saying? If you are Sufis, then you'll understand what I'm saying. Brother, this line, this path of tasawwuf is very good. The question doesn't arise that if the student is sincere and he doesn't get guidance, even the biggest of difficulties in his life, he doesn't see which country am I in, which place am I in, and it's hard to practice sunnah here, it's hard to wear the attire here, libas here. That's why people are shocked, their jaws drop. How comes you people are here doing this? How comes you're practicing deen? How comes you're praying salah in the morning? You do this, you do that, and their mouths, they open, their jaws drop, because they're shocked. They don't understand that this person has sold himself. He took the hands of the shaykh with siddaq, like Buraydah Salmi. And then let me tell you further the event that unfolded. Do you understand what is softness, gentleness, caring, and how Rasulullah was gentle and caring and soft, and he was immersed in Rasulullah. He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, now Salmi Bureida, I put my hands together, my parents, may I sign them to you? Can I ask you something?" His words change, his style changes, mannerism change. Abu Bakr Siddiq was watching, and the murid, he spoke, and Rasulullah said, "Yes, please tell me." I remember, just coming off the topic here, that the Sheikh told this event, that there was a friend, and he used to do bad things, sins, and Allah Ta'ala gave him a sheikh, a teacher, and he went, and Allah Ta'ala gave him a maqam, he met a wali of Allah, and then he went to a high level. After some days, he met a sheikh, who told me this event, this story. Now I'm telling you how much difference is made when a person is sincere. So when he heard about him, his noise was spreading, a friend came to meet him, I said, "Why have you become, you were a sinner before? You are extreme sinful. Look what you know." He said, "No, I've left the dunya, my friend. I'm this now. I'm better. I'm a good person." And this was this when they were two friends who loved each other immensely. You know, we say like friends who really extremely love each other. He said, "Can you bring me onto your path as well?" Say, "Subhanallah." Because he was a true friend, a good friend. He said, "What? How have you become? You've left the sins and darkness, and you've left that dunya and left the sins. Can you make me like you now? Can I become like you?" And the friend gave the reply. So that friend who became good, who was immersed in sin before in darkness, and he said that he knew that his friend before was bad as well. So he made niyyah, and he had itiqad and trust. He said, "My friend, just like you've become better." So his friend took his hand. He took his hand, and the current of ishq, love, went into the hand of his friend. And see what happens after that. Then the situation was established. Within a second, that friend also changed. He was immersed in love. He dropped his eyes. The adab, the manners of the sheikh came into life. Friendship finished. Within a second, the adab, the manners and comportment came into that person. And the adab and the manners came. And when they left, when he left his home, and he left, he saw a dog. You know the dogs outside? And he had put excrement outside the house of the sheikh. This was his friend before, who now was his sheikh. When he saw the excrement of the dog, with his both hands he picked up the excrement, the dirt. This is a big example. With his hands he picked up the excrement, the stool of the dog, and he threw it to the side into the rubbish. And he said, "What have you done? What are you doing here cleaning the rubbish?" He said, no, "I could not feel, I could not accept that in front of your house a dog excreted and the excrement was outside your house." Subhanallah. Adab. Within a second, the adab, the manners of the sheikh came into the heart of the student. And this sheikh, obviously, was his friend before, but the adab, the manners came. And this is how a person, without the connection of the sheikh, a person can never reach to the heights close to Allah. From decades, sharab, alcohol, zina, adultery. But when the sadiq comes and he has the trust in the sheikh and he makes the connection, he improves. I remember, at that time, not even worth it. At the time, a person came and he was a non-Muslim. He was Scottish, Irish, I think. Quite a long time ago, he became Muslim. And he brought about Iman. I said, "The condition is that now you'll come to me. You've done Tawbah, repented, become Muslim." And mashallah, the connection was made, and the current of love went into him. I said, "What are your defects?" He mentioned some names of alcohol, these brands. He said, "I like drinking." He said, "Sheikh," he said, "I leave music, etc. But alcohol is difficult for me. Allow me to drink ongoing. It's very difficult for me to drink. I can leave music, other haram things." I said that, "For this, come to me tomorrow." Regards to this, I said, "Leave the rest of the sins." He said, "I've left all sins." Subhanallah, big statement. He said, "I leave all the sins, but it's difficult for me to leave alcohol." He came back the next day. He said, "Sheikh, what's happened? That I put my hand out and now I feel this extreme stinking smell coming from alcohol, and I threw it away. And until I die, I will never take alcohol again." Brothers, when a person's sincere, it doesn't matter where he is, I've seen Allah Ta'ala's path. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanuttaqullaha qunu ma'as-sadiqin, the Quran states. Taqwa will come and you'll become cautious and careful. The juz of iman, the part of iman which will give us salvation and forgiveness. And what's taqwa? That every sin will seem as a sin. All losses will seem as a loss. Your body will tremble when you're about to sin. Why? Why? Allahu Akbar. Because that person, he has embraced and absorbed the ishq, the love. So Bureida Salmi said, he put his hands together. He said, "May my parents be sacrificed, Rasulullah Sallam, assigned to you." And this is what we've heard from the Buzurgs, the pious predecessors, and we do Islah rectification for ourselves. We're discussing this. So he put forward a unique question, because he became a Sahabi, radiyallahu anhu now. May Allah be pleased with him, Bureida. He said, what did he say? Allah, he said, O Prophet of Allah, he said, I desire now. Now we're going to Medina. Hum, he said, we are going to Medina. I don't want to go like this. You are with us and we go like this. He said, how do you want to go? He said, I want to go. I have your standard, your flag in my hand, and I lead you from in front and behind. We shout out Allahu Akbar and we enter into Medina like this, like a caravan. Subhanallah. Say louder, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What beautiful events we're talking. We don't praise Allah when we hear these words and these events. Allah's Nabi says, and what did he say at that time? Think about this. Think about this. To think this, what a great statement I'm sharing with you now. Rasulullah named that flag. Abu Bakr Sadiq took off his take off your shirt, etc. No, Rasulullah took off his blessed imamah. Allahu Akbar. So maybe Rasulullah wore imamah then, isn't it? If we learn from this hadith, did Nabi Imamah Sharif, Rasulullah took off his imamah and he took the spear, and Rasulullah, subhanAllah, may we be assigned, we give our lives for this imamah. Rasulullah tied the imamah around the spear and said, take this, this is your flag and standard. Ah, look at the Rasulullah standard and his practice. Now we need to understand what was his practice. So now that Jamaat goes forth in front to Medina. Buraidah is in front. What is the flag? Rasulullah's blessed turban. His blessed turban. And this is the initiation of Islam, not the end. Shall I tell you something else now in passing? Now I'm going to exchange my point with you. I put my hands together. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. This is my enjoyment in my heart that I'm sharing with you. I'm not giving dalil and proofs. I'm just giving you the feelings of my heart. If you like, accept, embrace it. And the feeling of my heart says this, and the scholars are here when they're saying this. So the standard, the flag of Islam was made. And has this finished now? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, his purnoor, Rasulullah is a master of the two worlds. Master of the two worlds. And his imamah Mubarak, blessed imamah, tied around the spear, became the flag. Was this just for a few days? Let me take you to another place now. Another maqam. Maqam-e Mahmood, Allah Ta'ala says, your Rabb, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, my Mahbub, you went to the maqam-e Mahmood, to the status of Mahmood, the level of Mahmood. What was this? Now the hadith, it is stated that Arsh, on the right side of the Arsh, say Subhanallah, on the right side of the throne of Allah, praise Allah. That why are we praising Allah? That Allah, we are grateful to you hundreds of thousands of times over that you've saved us from thousands of sins and you've allowed us to sit in this majlis to hear and speak good things. Yes, so we could be here this moment in time, we could be somewhere else listening to singing, music. Some other majlises, are they more valuable than this? What beautiful words we are sharing, discussing. Maybe we've heard thousands of times before, but we feel like we want to hear more and more. So there'll be the Arsh, and on the right side of Allah's throne. Remember, the right side's greater. When you stand in Salah, the right side of the Imam is better than the left side. So the right side of the Arsh, the throne of Allah, I won't go further. I'll just tell you here. Stop it, because I'm afraid and afraid I say wrong. There'll be the Arsh of Allah. On the right side of the Arsh will be what? Will be the blessed Kursi chair. And we cannot give the tafsir of this chair. How beautiful a chair will be on the right side of Allah's throne. And on that chair, blessed chair, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be present. Imagine on that chair the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will sit on the right side of the throne, and the Prophet ﷺ will wear special libas that will be fitting for that day. All his libases were great, but he will be given a green libas that day to wear, subs, and he will be like the bridegroom of the universe, subhanAllah, at that time. And the whole of the universe, the people will be enjoying that today we can see that who was Muhammad ﷺ. We today thought he is nothing. Astaghfirullah, we are empty ashiks. On that day we'll realize that who was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who will see him sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Only those today who have taqwa. Only those eyes will see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you see that we sell our imans for small things? Promise yourselves today, whatever happens, hardship, we won't commit sins, we will not sell our iman in this world, otherwise we will not see this scene on the day of judgment. And hereafter, imagine a scene that people see on that day. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be sat on that great chair, and the reality of Muhammadi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be visible today. His true form and image, his husn, jamal, Allah will decorate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully, and he'll be visible. And that time, when all the good people of the universe, awwalin wa akhirin, in the hadith it says, people from the beginning to then will be drowned in the beauty and proud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll see his jalwa, his light, his nur, and then a gift will be given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this? That the standard, the flag of hamd, will be given in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shall I request here? Now, what will be that standard, that flag that will be given to the Prophet Muhammad? That my passion and love that says that that Imam al-Sharif that was wrapped about that spear, that same spear with the Imam al-Sharif will be handed to the that same flag. Say Subhanallah again. Say Subhanallah again. Do you think it's a small thing that the blessed Imam of the Prophet was given on the spear and Buraydah took this on the stick? No, that was the initiation and the end, the conclusion. That day when the universe finishes, the world finishes, And it's the end of time, the message will be given that Allah's Nabi Sallam started the haq, the truth, and the conclusion is also from my Prophet Muhammad Sallam. And there his maqam was great in the world. At that time there was no one greater. After Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he's the greatest buzurg. And even that day all the universe, the people of the world, the creatures are there. And after Allah, buzurg, the greatest is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the flag, the standard of the Imam. My brothers, this is a great sunnah. Don't waste the sunnah of the Imam. Don't be ashamed of the Imam. Tell your children to wear it. Wear it yourself and spread this sunnah amongst the world. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? It's a great deed, a great practice. So my friends, coming back, my colleagues, we started at the beginning about the respected habit of the Prophet ﷺ, his gentleness, caring attitude and approach and dialogue and communication with people. So again here we see from this example how Rasulullah ﷺ was gentle and soft. Otherwise Rasulullah ﷺ, he could be hard as a rock, he could give the hukam to the earth, he could give the person who came before and he was buried in the earth. But Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say this. And Nabi ﷺ took those people came into Islam. And then Rasulullah gave the flag to those people in the hand, to that sahabi, and that will come in use in the hereafter. So why should we be hard? Why is there fasad in our homes? All fasadat, disputes, fights, quarrels, courts, and murders, divorces, and enemies fighting children, fighting at home, fighting with other people. What is behind all of this? What is behind all this? The heated attitudes, even the words of the deen. We say we are proud of spreading. Why don't you pray Salah? Beat that person. Why don't you do this? Hit this person. Smack this person. In homes you're doing Islam with anger. Expel this person out of the house. My friends, we've left the Sunnah of Rasulullah and our whole society of Islam has been spoiled today. Tell me. Everywhere we go we see facade in a shop. There's a dispute between customers, people are doing business, there's an argument, and somebody, brothers or husband and wife, arguments. Just a few days ago, there was a severe argument between husband and wife. They said, we are fed up with each other, we want to do divorce. I said, listen to one thing of mine. After that, if you want to then take divorce. This was 2-3 weeks ago, they said, we've tried so much, we've taweez, will you give us taweez? I said, no, I'm not going to give taweez, I don't have taweez. I will just explain to you, give you advice and do amal on that. 2 weeks ago, come to me after 2 weeks, and if you want to divorce, then that's your choice. They said, okay, fine, we'll test out what you're saying, that we came with high hopes to you, that you'll give us taweez, we're going to throw it into a grave, then a deceased will come out, and some weird magic will happen, we'll have to go into the graveyard in the night, and bury the taweez in the grave, and say certain things. I said, no, my colleagues, look at the Sunnah of Rasulullah. There's no greater taweez than the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is there any greater taweez than this? Is there any greater protection than the Sunnah? Let me tell you a blessed habit. And just 2 weeks try to implement this. Even if your wife doesn't accept, but from me to you, oh brother, if you do this and your house will be saved, your young children are there. He said, what shall I do? I said that whenever you are together, then promise that we will speak to each other with softness and gentleness. Say Subhanallah. Any discussion, any point that doesn't matter how much is against you, because what affects a person's attitude is shaitan. And what makes your habit or your mood at that time soft is the sunnah. So whether you're talking about deen or dunya, speak with softness and gentleness and caring. He said, okay, I promise. I said, give my message and I'll explain it on the phone as well. He said, please explain to her on the phone. I said, okay, no problem. I said, my sister, just accept one advice of mine, your house will be saved. She said, no, my house is finished. No, give me taweez. I said, no taweez. I said, when you speak to your husband, whenever you talk to each other, explain to him nicely, calmly, softly. Do this for 2 weeks and then tell me after 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, they're giving du'as, prayers. They're saying that we are in paradise from that day. We are feeling so much love has increased between us that before we were talking about divorce, but now when we're ignoring each other, we finished off firmness and scolding and hard attitude, why be angry, explain with love. And we said, it's okay, I'll do this for you now, I'll explain to you, don't worry, I'll tell you nicely, just bear out with me. And I saw myself a person, his wife was sitting, and they were on a journey, and he said to her, whatever you want to do it now, right now, because I'm not going to stop on the way and do this for that. He said it very hard, harshly to him. And look at the wife, what did she say? The wife said, no, it's okay, you don't need to be angry like this, this is just natural, what can we do if this happens? Look, I'm not, you just get upset for a small thing and get angry. And he became calm. He said, okay, no problem, let's go, fine. Subhanallah. I said, what a great sunnah, how she reacted. So my brothers, the gentleness in speech, in the mannerism, in your actions, this makes a person big in the world. Listen to the words of the walis of Allah, that when we say something to someone, explain something to someone, even after explaining, we seek forgiveness. It's the mistake of the murid, it's the mistake of the student. The shaykh explains and then says, please forgive me, my student, don't be upset with me, don't be upset, I just wanted to advise you and to improve you. And I'm saying, you're saving him from Jahannam, but the shaykh is asking forgiveness. I know I'm breaking your heart, don't take it badly from me. Some few times, various times, the shaykh, the wali Allah, he seeks forgiveness. Imagine the level of the shaykh, and he's asking the murid for forgiveness with gentleness. He's explaining to the student, reforming him, improving him, and then the shaykh says on top of that, please don't take what I'm saying badly, please forgive me. What a great human being. This is the glorious practice of the shaykh. He's not ashamed that he's my murid, student, why should I ask him forgiveness, even though the student's wrong and the shaykh is right, and he's bowing humbly and saying to the student, forgive me, few times over. So make your habit like this and ask for forgiveness. These are the effects of dhikr on the heart of the person. Why do we destroy our maashara, communities? If a few of us do this, our society will improve. When this situation arises, ask yourself, what is the sunnah of Rasulullah? Express and demonstrate gentleness, softness, calmness, and instill the characteristic of bardasht, which is to absorb and be patient. Has Anas radiallahu anhu narrated in hadith that Rasulullah was walking and he had a sheet wrapped around him, and an Arabi nomad came and he took off the sheet of Rasulullah and he wrapped it around him, and Anas said the eyes shrieked out that Rasulullah, he took the sheet and he wrapped it hard against around the neck of Rasulullah and he pulled on it and said that, O Prophet of Allah, that is my shi'uta written in your wealth, or have you given it out to everybody? Allah is asking maal, money, in this way. He's wrapped the sheet hard and tight around the neck of Rasulullah's blessed neck. And what did Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said? He said, I was amazed that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the marks of the sheet were around his blessed neck, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when the sheet was pulled away, the Rasulullah smiled beautifully, such a beautiful smile. He said, Anas, quickly give him his share. That is his share. So he didn't delay. And Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that I gave his share that was due to him. Subhanallah. This is the blessed sunnah. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is his blessed habits. And this is deen. Our beautiful deen. The whole deen spread due to this. Yes. Not through harshness and have a battle with him and fight with him. I want to fight with people. I want to murder people. I want to cut off their necks. I want to beat people. Never did our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrate harshness like this. Even the prisoners, when they were captured, that the Prophet ﷺ said, don't give them difficulty and hardship. So brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah has given us the tawfiq to do dhikr, improve our hearts. Allah gives us the opportunity to improve our hearts. So we need to bring the beautiful, blessed habits of Rasulullah ﷺ into our lives. Don't consider any sunnah as a minor. The sunnah gives a massive message. Wa akhru dawana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.